من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الإمام الحافظ أبو عبد الله أمير المؤمنين في الحديث، حديث رقم 4، قال ابن شهاب: وأخبرني أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن أن جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال، وهو يحدث عن فترة الوحي، فقال في حديثه: بين أنا أمشي إذ سمعت صوتا من السماء، فرفعت بصري فإذا الملك الذي جاءني بحراء جالس على كرسي بين السماء والأرض، فرعبت منه، فرجعت فقلت: زملوني. فأنزل الله تعالى: يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر، إلى قوله: ورد فهجر. فحمي الوحي وتابعه عبد الله بن يوسف وأبو صالح، وتابعه هلال بن رداد عن الزهري، وقال يونس ومعمر بوادره. اقرأ يا أبا إبراهيم. لا لا، هذا غير يا شيخ، سنأتي عليه إن شاء الله. بارك الله فيك، سلمك الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على النبي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، الشيخ الحافظ الإمام أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبو عبد الله محمد ابن إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم ابن المغيرة البخاري رحمه الله تعالى has recorded in his Sahih الحديث number 4 that narrated Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari while speaking about the period of pause in the revelation, reporting the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: while I was walking, all of a sudden I heard a voice from the sky. I looked up and saw the angel, the same angel who had visited me at the cave of Hira, sitting on a chair between the sky and the earth. I got afraid of him and came back home and said, wrap me up. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed the following verses in translation: O you, wrapped up in garments, arise and warn up until the desert idols. After this, the revelation started coming strongly, frequently, and regularly.
Alhamdulillah. The brother wanted to make a correction, and he thought that the proper ayat was Ayyuhal Muzammil, but Ayyuhal Muzammil comes before Ayyuhal Mudathir. Ayyuhal Muzammil, Qum al-Layl illa qaleela. This comes before the hadith or the ayat that we're going to deal with today, inshaAllah, Surah Al-Mudathir. Concerning the chain of narrations, first of all, we find Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri was taken last week, so no one has to write anything. Ibn Shihab, the first man in the chain of narration, was taken last week. And then we have Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri saying that Abu Salama, the son of Abdurrahman, Abu Salama, the son of Abdurrahman, Abu Salama ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abu Salama ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Before dealing with Abu Salama, Fadda ya Hikash. Now, many of the brothers, we were hoping that someone was going to say something like that. How is it that Az-Zuhri, who we told you brothers last week, was born when? When did he die? Az-Zuhri. Naam, 125. And Bukhari died when? 256. And he was born when? Naam. So it's impossible for Al-Imam Al-Bukhari to have met Al-Imam Al-Zuhri. So how does this chain of narration begin right away with Al-Imam Zuhri, Nabir? This is a hadith that's mu'allaq. Nah, it's not mu'allaq. Actually, many people have made a mistake when they criticize Al-Imam Al-Bukhari for this hadith. They say that this is a hadith that's mu'allaq. But in actuality, this hadith is a continuation of the last hadith. It is a continuation of the last hadith. It's not a hadith mu'allaq where Al-Imam Al-Bukhari does not put the narration or the isnad. He just starts off with a man in the chain of narration. And the proof of that is that in the Arabic, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said, قَالَ إِبْنُ شِهَابٍ Ibn Shihab said, وَأَخْبَرَنِي أَبُو سَلَمَا Az-Zuhri said, and also Abu Salama told me. So what's happening in this hadith, if you remember the last hadith, Al-Bukhari's isnad, his sheikh, and then the sheikh of his sheikh, and then Az-Zuhri. In the last hadith, ikhwan, we find that Az-Zuhri is narrating on Urwa ibn al-Zubayr. So just like he narrated on Urwa ibn al-Zubayr in the last hadith, he's saying, and also Abu Salama told me as well. He took the hadith from Urwa, and he took the hadith from Abu Salama. So he gave the first chain of narration over there, and now he's given the same story, the similar story, with a new chain of narration from Az-Zuhri. So it's not a hadith that's mu'allaq, but it's a continuation of the last hadith. Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, there's ikhtilaf as to what his name is. Some of the ulama say his name is Abdullah, and some of them say his name is Ismail. He's thiqa. Muqsir, this is a new word, Muqsir. Muqsir comes from the Arabic word kathir, kathura, meaning he has a lot of narration. He either died in 104 or 904 or 94. 104 and 94. It's not clear. All of the ulama of the Kutub al-Sitta narrated on him. As for the companion in this chain of narration, Jabir ibn Abdullah, the son of Amr, the son of Haram al-Ansari. Al-Ansari. Whenever we hear that a companion is Al-Ansari, that means he's from the Ansar of Medina. Jabir ibn Abdullah ibn Amr, A-M-R, commonly transliterated, ibn Haram Al-Ansari. He's from the Ansar. Jabir, as well as his father, Abdullah, they both were companions. So whenever we find that a narrator, a companion, him and his father were companions, we say, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. May Allah have mercy upon both of them. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. Jabir ibn Abdullah was one of the six companions who narrated the majority of the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were six of them. He was one of those six. He fought in 19 wars. 19 ghazwa. 19 wars. And all of the ulama from the Kutub al-Sitta narrate Jabir ibn Abdullah in their book. So since this hadith is a continuation of the last hadith, the special feature of the last hadith still holds to be true. All of the narrators in this hadith are narrated in the Kutub al-Sitta, except who? Yahya ibn Abdullah. Naam. As for the benefits of the hadith, because it's similar to the last hadith, number one, the benefits of this hadith, number one, Surah Al-Mudathir came after Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. How do we know that? Abu Busayna. But what's the proof from the hadith that we just read? Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Abdullah. La, in the hadith that we just read, Abu Ruqayyah. Now, he said, and I saw the same angel who visited me in Hira when he came before. Because Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he's of the opinion that Al-Mudathir was the first revelation sent down. And other ulama are of this opinion. And Bukhari, he brings a hadith to support this. He brings a hadith to support this. But the majority of the ulama, the jamhur, are of the opinion that Iqra is the first one. Another benefit from this hadith is that with the sending down of this hadith, now the da'wah is wajib upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first ayahs that came down were Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. But they did not order him to go to anyone or to do anything. And you all know of the fear that overtook him to the point that he wasn't even sure. He didn't know that he was a prophet and a messenger at that time. So when this ayah comes down and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa anzir. Stand up and go warn. So we know in Asul al-Fiqh, this rule of Asul al-Fiqh says that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders something in the Qur'an, then that thing is wajib. If Allah orders us to do anything in the Qur'an, then that thing is wajib. Unless he has some other circumstance coming to show that it's not wajib. For an example, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us five salat. And then we have the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ told us that witr is wajib. He said that Allah has increased the salat on you and it's witr. So whoever doesn't make it, he's not from us. So he ordered us to make this witr. How do we know whether the witr, now this order, is wajib or not wajib? We know it from these other hadith to show us that it's not wajib now when, for an example, the Bedouin comes to the Prophet and he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I make halal when Allah made halal and haram when Allah made haram, and I made five salat and I fasted in Ramadan, will I be successful? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes. Will I go to Jannah? He said yes. He said, wallahi, I won't do anything other than that. And he walked away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, qad aflaha in sadaqah. He will be successful if he does what he says that he's going to do. When the Messenger of Allah sallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he told Mu'adh, make the first thing you give them da'wah to, أن يوحدوا الله. He said, إِنَّكَ تَقْتَمْ عَلَى قَوْمٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَجْعَلْ أَوَّ مَا تَدَعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَن يُوَحِدُوا اللَّهِ. There you're going to the people of the book. So make the first thing that you give them da'wah to is that they should make the tawheed of Allah. فَإِنْ أَطَاعُوكَ فِي ذَلَكَ فَعْلَمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتِ. And if they obey you in that, then let them know that Allah has made obligatory upon them five salah. So, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders the Prophet to get up and to warn, this is wajib, because there's nothing else coming to show us that this is not the case. And there's another clear ayah where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, فَلْيَحْذَرَ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ يُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبُهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those beware who go against the order that some fitna may befall them or they'll get a grievous punishment. So, whenever Allah orders you to do something in the Qur'an, that thing is wajib. Unless something else comes to show you that it's not wajib. Do everybody understand that? If you don't understand, we'll repeat it again. Everybody understand that? Now, in Usul al-Fiqh. Why do we say that it's not permissible for a man to cut his beard? Because the Prophet ﷺ has ordered the man when he said, "A'fu liha." He ordered us and he said, "Leave your beard." So this is wajib. For us to say that it's the sunnah or it's mustahab, it's liked or it's highly recommended, then something else has to come to show us that the Prophet cut his beard or he allowed somebody to cut their beard. Because how could he say do it and it's wajib, then he let somebody else do it? And I'm only dealing with this order now because as we go on, the prohibition is going to come in. And we'll deal with that another time. And also the rukhsa is going to come in. When the thing can be from the khususiyah, from something that's special for someone. Or for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point is, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala or his messenger order the Muslim to do something, the order or the amr, the order is wajib. Unless you have something else come in to show you that this is not wajib. So if the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for an example, he said to us, make witr. This witr is wajib. But when we look at the other hadith, and we see that he told us that Islam is faj salah, then you know that the witr isn't wajib. You know that coming into the masjid and praying the two rak'ats of the masjid isn't wajib. You know that the Eid salah isn't wajib. You know that the Salat of duha or whatever it is, not wajib. And inshallah we'll deal with that if anyone needs some extra. We'll go to the next hadith, inshallah ta'ala. Anyone have any questions concerning that past hadith? Abu Abdul Qayyum, fadlam. Naam, that's the opinion of the majority of the ulama. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he said in this hadith, was walking, he saw that the angel who came to him at Hira, meaning Jibril, came to him. And when the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he became afraid of him. He went to his house and he told the people, "Zammiluni, wrap me up again." So when they wrapped him up, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed to him, "Ya ayyuhal mudassir, oh you wrapped up. Oh you one who's wrapped up. Stand up and warn." And the ayahs went like that. So from this point, as we said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts his prophecy or his prophethood and he starts to call the people to al-Islam afterwards. Any questions concerning the last hadith? Abu Ubaidullah. Naam, a big difference of opinion. A big difference of opinion. And when you read the explanation of the hadith, you can really, I didn't think it was really wise to deal with that. I think what's important to us is the way things are, is that we say, alhamdulillah, we're going to study the hadith and the isnad of the hadith and the benefits of the hadith. As for the difference of opinion, it's very detailed and everyone has these proofs that they give and how they reject the other people's opinion. Kash, Fadl Nabeem. No, this is in the ulama of al-usul, this is agreed upon, but you're going to always find from the ulama who are respected those who do not agree on certain issues and certain aspects of certain issues. But Hizb al-Tahrir, they, whenever you discuss and debate with them and you tell them, let us look at the books that are the ummuhat of the kutub, the books of usul al-fiqh, like Ibn Hazm's book, like al-Imam al-Ajurri's book, like al-Imam al-Shafi'i's al-Risala. Whenever you tell these people, let us look at what these ulama have agreed upon, you'll find that they all are of this opinion because this has allowed us to understand our religion. This is the main issue of how they have been able to categorize this is haram and this is halal and this is makruh and this is mustahab and this is mandub from this knowledge of ilm al-usul al-fiqh. Abu Busayna. Now, because now I believe that the translator basically finds that this is from the knowledge of hadith, that the average person who's going to read it in English is not going to be concerned with it. So that's why I guess he didn't translate it.
Well, basically it's saying that Imam al-Bukhari brings a lot of other narrations to support or to strengthen what he has already brought. And in those narrations, he brought some of the ulama that he had from before, like Abdullah ibn Yusuf and Abu Salih, who was the katib of al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd. This man who used to write for al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd, he is considered to be weak, actually. But what al-Imam al-Bukhari brought him here for was for what they call al-Mutabi'at. He's not dependent upon him. He's dependent upon the narrations that went before, but he's bringing him along with those narrations so as to strengthen that situation. That's all that's saying. So now the fourth hadith, al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala said, حَدَّثَنَا مُوسَى بْنُ إِسْمَعِيلِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو عَوَانَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُوسَى ابْنَ أَبِي عَائِشَةَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سَعِيدَ بْنُ جُبَيْرٍ عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه في قوله تعالى لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يعالج من التنزيل شدة وكان مما يحرك شفتيه فقال ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما فأنا أحركهما لكم كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يحركهما وقال السعيد ألا أحركهما كما رأيت ابن عباس يحركهما فحرك شفتيه فأنزل الله تعالى لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إنا علينا جمعه وقرآنه قال جمعه لك في صدرك